How's everybody doing this morning? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Hey, we've had an awesome opportunity. As you see, we've got all kinds of things that are going on. As Brian got up here and spoke of all the different meetings that are going on, who is fired up about our business meeting coming up? Okay. What? Elijah's like, hey, I'm not going to be here. I'm fired up for it. Yeah. We may have to change the date for you. Yay, nay, maybe. Elijah got me this morning. He said, dude, I am stoked. I am going to be out of town next Sunday. I said, that's when we're having Thanksgiving meal. He said, I know. I'm excited. Don't we get in that place sometimes in ministry where it just seems like, man, this is coming, this is coming, this is coming. That's happening over here. We get so tied up in all the things that are going in our life, all the things that are going on in our ministry, and we forget about that, exactly what we're talking about in this series, about being abundantly joyful, right? Like we get in that mode, and then all of a sudden we start feeling a little dull. Right? And we feel a little dim. We feel a little spread out. We feel like, hey, where do I need to go with this? Well, as I get into the message today, we are going to be in the book of Philippians. We're going to be in chapter 2, if you guys want to turn there. We're going to start at verse 12 and go somewhere around 18. I have not told Luke to add on or take away this week. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but we're going to try our best to glorify God in His Word this morning. And I want to just share a little bit about continuing on with what Paul is writing here. Let's not forget that Paul is in prison at this time. And I said that last week and we talked about it, but it is really important to get in that mindset. Because so often we can share things, right? And we can tell stories and we can love on each other. But it means so much more when somebody else has been there or is there, right? It means so much more when somebody is there to share in that feeling with you and to be able to see joy through it. So often, if somebody's in a terrible point in their life and they come to you and say, hey, can I pray for you? Can I reach out to you? How much more does that mean in that situation, right? Like it means so much that somebody's taking away from their pain to add love and joy into your life. Some of the best phone calls that you can get is somebody say, hey, I'm hurting too, but we can get through this. God is good. God does love us. And that's exactly where Paul is. Even in this book of joy, as we talk about, Paul writes it from that jail cell. Not from a cell, but more than likely from house arrest, but from being imprisoned, he is writing this book of joy. So let's get that into our mindsets in here and get in that mindset of whatever situation that we're in right now, whether it be a terrible situation, somebody has passed away or we've found sickness or we're hurting or we've not knowing where our job's going to be or whatever that is, can we find joy in Jesus Christ through those situations? So, before I read his word, I'm going to pray that God speaks to us today and speaks through me, and that the Holy Spirit comes into our lives so that we can take it out into this world and share the gospel with our brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for today. I thank you for allowing us to be here. Lord, even in the times that we're hurting or the seats and are empty or that we feel like we have no more gas in the tank or that the world is bearing down on us, or even in the times that we have all of the political issues that are going on or the work issues or family issues or friend issues or church issues, or personal issues with things in our own head, I thank you that Jesus is still there, that the Spirit is still there, and God, that you love us enough to give us your word, to give us your Spirit, and to have sent your Son for us. Allow us to find joy even in our hard times. Please allow this message to not just be taken in this morning, but to be given out as we go throughout the remainder of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 12, it says, "Therefore, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure children of God, who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. By holding firm to the word of life, then I can boast in the day of Christ that I didn't run or labor for nothing. But even if I am poured out as a drink offering on the sacrificial service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. In the same way, you should also be glad and rejoice with me." Man. As I read this passage, I get this visual, and as you read exactly what's going on in Paul's life, and he's calling us to be more. He's calling us to be seen. He's calling us to be heard. He's calling us to be a beacon of hope. He's calling us to understand what it's like to be children of God. See, he starts out in this first verse here in verse 12, and it's so important of a word, that word therefore, right? So that word therefore means that he just got done speaking something really, really important. So often when we read this, we just totally overlook that word, but that one word right there, that word therefore, points to something really important. Because of this, therefore, do all of this. And if we get in there as in that process of what Paul is talking about, he talks about being in a Christ-like mindset in the verses before that. If we read, and I'm going to read just a little bit of what he says. It says, starting in verse 5, it says, "Adopt the same attitude that of Christ Jesus, whom existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross." As we go through all of this passage here, and you can keep reading as we're reading this, he says, because Jesus, the Son, fully God, fully man, as we say so many times, was able to go and humble himself, to lay himself, to become man-like, to be man, came and hung on that cross, that put himself there for you and me. We equally should put ourselves in that same situation and be as Christ-like in the mannerism, in the way that we deal with the world. We should be willing to be Christ-like. That word, therefore, because Christ did that, now we can talk about ourselves. See, to truly understand who we need to be as Christians, we can't look at anything else other than Jesus. We can't look at that other pastor down the road or your best friend that serves so many meals at the homeless shelter. We can't look at the best person. You know, you can't have a superhero that is anyone else other than Christ. See, it's so dangerous when we say, who's your hero, to say, I want to be just like LeBron James, or I want to be just like Michael Jordan, or I want to be like Peyton Manning, or even I want to be like my dad. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't strive to have some attributes that they have. If our fathers, and just like if as Paul was, were godly men, and we strive to be godly in those same ways, then yes, strive to be godly. Be imitators of those situations, absolutely, but as a whole, we still fail. So don't be imitators of the parts that fail. Be imitators of the things that are Christ-like. When Paul says, be imitators of me as I was of Christ, he's saying, the things that I did that are Christ-like, be imitators of that. Not me as man, me as a follower. So often we get into that point where we think, I want to be just like, and I want to be just like this guy or this lady. Question is, do we want to have all the attributes that lead us closer to Christ that they have that are Christ-like, or do we just want to be them? See, our goal, when you get down to the root of everything, should be to be imitators of Christ. So therefore, if Christ was able to do everything that he did for us in pouring himself out for us, now it's our turn. Therefore, because he did that, we can. That word therefore is so important. So important. We spoke earlier, just touched it in our Sunday school class, but if we don't know where we came from, how do we know where we're going, right? If we don't know that the Messiah was going to come, how would we know when he got there? If we don't know what we need to be, if we don't see that our end goal is to be as Christ-like as we can, how do we get there? We've got to set the bar. It says, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in our absence. See, sometimes we can be really, really good servants, right? And we always need to be good servants, but we can be such good servants as long as we have somebody to lean on to. Right, the goal here is not to just be able to fall back on Paul, but Paul says, even in my absence, I want you guys to keep doing what you guys have been doing. He's proud of what this church was doing. As I spoke before, this was a church that was giving more than anyone else around compared to what they had. They were pouring themselves out. They were doing everything that they could. However, Paul, not being directly there and to give them direct guidance in that situation, he's encouraging them to become leaders that become Christ followers even more so. Our goal in life should be not to just lean on one person that is here to guide us, but to be able to lean on Christ and therefore be able to do it on our own. See, Paul says, even more in my absence. See, does anybody ever remember going to elementary school? You guys remember put yourselves way back in elementary school, right? What was one of the best 5 minutes of the day for us in elementary school? Does anybody ever remember do they still have the intercom systems in the school? And got a question. Miss Frills, can you please come to the office? Anybody ever get that? Do we still do that sort of thing? And as kids, whenever that teacher would walk out the room, it was like the best 5 minutes of the day because you could just do what you wanted, right? There weren't any rules, right? And that kid that wrote down names on the wall, he may write you down, but he was getting a good wedgie or beat up at a playground at recess, right? That was awesome because we could be who we truly wanted to be. I remember that feeling of, yeah, she's finally out there, and my mom's a teacher back here, and I know there's several. My wife's a teacher. I'm sorry if I'm giving kids a great time, but that's the best time to throw a spit wad, paper wad, because that's truly what we want to be. But see, the trueness of who we are comes out, the sinful parts of our lives. You know, whenever we're not supposed to talk and the teacher's back there, talking is the most fun thing that we can do, right? When we're not supposed to get out of our seats, we get out and do a Chinese fire drill until she gets back to see if anybody can catch us. In the same way, Paul's telling the church, don't be that type of Christian. Don't get up just when I'm not here and go out and seek to throw spit wads at your congregation because your pastor's not there at the time. Don't seek because a Sunday school teacher comes out to go in there and just fall asleep during the ministry aspect of what you're doing in that class. Don't go and try to do a Chinese fire drill running around a desk when somebody's wanting you to sit and listen to them. Even when Paul's not there, he says, even more so, we should go and seek to keep doing God's will. Our human nature goes aside from that sometimes. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't do this because of me. Don't come into a relationship. Don't fear what I'm telling you. Don't fear that you may fall short of your pastor because he's up here. Don't have fear because you may fall short of your Sunday school teacher. Fear God in the fact that he is the one that we should be striving to be loved by, to honor, to do the things that we should do. Work out your own salvation. Don't go through me. Work it out through yourselves. If you can't do it without me, then what you're doing with me probably isn't enough. You could be the best church member in the world, but if you walk outside of the church or if your congregation isn't there and you're not living for Christ, reevaluate your own salvation. We are awesome tools, are great tools. The church is used there to keep each other accountable and those sort of things, but we should seek to honor God in our own lives with our own salvation, not just because Paul's there, Kirill's there, or whoever's there. We should be in that same situation in the classroom, not because Miss Emery steps out of the classroom, I can do whatever I want. I should be that student all the time. I should seek to be learning and growing closer to God all the time. Not just when society expects it from me. Not just when my church expects it from me. God expects it from us all the time. All the time. He goes on. He says, for it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing. So we've got two different words. We've got worlds here. We've got two different debates. And this gets into certain theology aspects. Is it a work-based theology that we have here, or is it God gives us that ability to do these things? Is it totally, hey, if God loves me enough, good, I can sit back and relax, I'm saved and I'm good and let's go? Or is it, hey, if I work hard enough, I should be able to get into heaven? And the answer is, if you truly are saved, if you truly are within God's will for your life, if you truly have a relationship with him, if you truly know him, no matter by what means you get there, you will desire to go out and bear fruit. It's not one or the other. It's not, hey, I'm going to go bear fruit so that maybe God will love me enough. And it's not, hey, God loves me enough, I don't have to go bear fruit. It's not that rich, spoiled kid syndrome that we can get into. Right? We can have all the blessings. You know what I'm talking about. You have all the blessings in the world, but you don't work for or appreciate any of them. That can be so dangerous when we get into that kind of theology. And it can get on the other opposite end of that. We can get into this theology where if I do enough, surely God's got to love me. If I am a good enough person, surely God's got to love me. It is neither one of those, yet it is partially both of those combined. See, if God loves me, that puts me in a relationship with him. And if I'm in a relationship with him, I desire to work for him. I desire to become more intimate with him. So if you don't have both, you need to sit down and question God, where am I with you? In the same way that if we have a relationship with our spouse, husbands, wives, no matter which way it is, right? It's not because you got married that you want to love each other. It's not because they chose you to marry you that that's good enough to say that I'm married. And it's equally not there just to go out and do a bunch of things and hope that you're good enough. It's got to be both. That intimate relationship requires loving each other fully and sacrificing for each other. When God loves us, we seek to sacrifice for Him. So often we get in this thought process, if you can do enough, He'll get there. Such a dangerous, dangerous thing that we say. Because it doesn't matter. The Bible tells us that all the good works, all the greatest things that we can do, the things that we give, the going out and being there for every single Sunday school lesson, maybe you even teach, maybe you get up and preach, maybe you help build the church, maybe you went out there. All of those things, if they weren't done in a Christ-like manner, is but filthy rags, menstrual cloths, the most disgusting things that we can think of if they aren't rooted in Christ. The best we can do if we're not rooted in Christ isn't good enough. Therefore, if we aren't rooted in Christ, we can't do Christ-like thing. We can't be there fully for what He wants. Paul's setting them up to be able to keep having the success and the love and the joy even when He's not there. Even when He's not there to guide them in each and every way, He is establishing a healthy church. We said this morning as I talked to Elijah and to Ralton, I said one of the reasons I want to get them up here more and them to rotate in and out so that if there was ever a day that something happened to me that the church doesn't just say, well, I guess we're just going to go somewhere else and do something else, just close the doors and we're out. The church is so much more than an individual. It's so much more than me. It's so much more than you. It's got to be Christ-centered. And if one of us fails, if one of us goes down, it can't end all of our ministries. We've got to keep on keeping on. The world needs you. Our community needs you to proclaim the gospel. And we've got to do it in a good way. It says don't do it in a grumbling and arguing mindset. And you know that that grumbling aspect is. Has anybody here, well, let me just say that. All of you here have been, if you're above, let's say 13, you have been a teenager. And for most of us that are above that age, we have some kids that are starting to get in that age. And you ask them to do something, right? And even if they do it, they're in the... You don't know how often we get in our ministry, we do those sort of things, and we jump into the ministry in that grumbling aspect. I'll do it, but I don't like it. We don't need to get in that way. We need to get in that joyful mindset, that excitedness, you know, not in that teenager defiant mindset. It's like, I'll do what I want because I don't want my car taken away. I'll do what you say, God, because I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be looked poorly upon. I don't want those sort of things. It's not because of that. I'll do those things because I love you so much and I'll do it joyfully. I'll do it because you deserve all that I can give. I'll do it because I love you because you loved me first. I'll do it with excitement. I'll do it with hope. I'll do it with encouragement. And then once we figure that out as individuals, that as the church, we need to figure out that even if it is not for us or the way that we like it, if it is Christ-honoring and centered in glorifying Christ, we can't argue about it. We've got to glorify Him in every possible way and do it in the way that He seeks for us to do it. To seek His will, not to argue amongst ourselves and not to grumble, but to find joy and excitement in working together with like-mindedness in an exciting, loving way. then he goes on to this idea of stars in the sky. When's the last time that anybody, has anybody taken the time? Raise your hand if you've taken the time in the last, let's say, 6 months to just go outside and look up at the stars. Has anybody ever done that? You guys have done that, right? And you look up, and some nights you go up and you look up and you say, man, it's just not a real good night for stargazing. I only see one or two and they're kind of covered up. Yeah, it's not a great night. But anybody ever went outside and it's just dark, clear night and you can see all the stars shining in the sky? How amazing of a view is that? To see the brightness of those stars. Do you know what makes those stars so bright? It's because they stand out amongst the darkness. You look out into the sky and you see that pitch black sky. You don't know where it goes. You can't see an end. You can't see a beginning. You can't see hope in finding anything there until you look, and in the midst of that darkness, you see stars that shine bright, that show hope, that give us the ability to see, that give us that knowledge that something great is out there. The same way, whenever we walk out into this community, see, there is no thing as darkness. No thing is darkness. And you say, well, what are you talking about? There is no such thing as darkness. Darkness is only the absence of light. There is such a thing as light, but there is no such thing as darkness. So the only way that the world can have anything is if the light is shown upon the world. The only way that our world and our city and our communities and our church and our kids and our homes and our spouses have any hope is if we show the light of Christ through our own lives. In the same way that a star burns in the pitch black of night, do we shine with the love of Christ into a community that is pitch black? Do we shine like a bright star in our homes when there is no hope? Do we shine like a bright star when everything else feels like it's going away or there's no end? Are we there to show the love of Christ? Are we willing to be those stars that bring light in a hopeless situation? The most beautiful thing is for somebody to see Christ walk into a hopeless situation and find hope. What joy is there when you walk out and you see those stars in the sky? What joy is it when you walk out into a community that's hurting and you see people sharing the gospel, sacrificing for their brothers and sisters? What joy is it as a teacher, if you weren't able to see back in your classroom, to see your kids say, man, even though Mr. Galloway's out right now, we want to seek to honor him. We want to seek to do what he asked us to do. We want to read our textbooks. We want to grow closer to what he expects out of us. How much more should it be whenever there's nothing else around that we seek to be more Christ-like, that we seek to be the light in the darkness? And he goes in and he says, once we become that, we have to have the realization that this world is temporary, because he says the same thing that so many say in God's word. They come to the conclusion that this gospel, our lives, our world is not about us, but it's about Christ. Because he says in verse 17, he says, but even if I am poured out as a drink offering on the sacrificial service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. In the same way, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. So even though he is in prison and he knows that death may come, he finds joy and excitement in the fact that even if he is killed, at least he is killed in Christ. Eternity is secured. Even if we are poured out, if we have nothing left, if we are beaten, if we are mocked, if we are ridiculed, if we are killed, if we were thrown out, if we do it for the purpose of loving God and seeking to be in His will and seeking to glorify Him, eternity is safe. Now, I say all that, and I'm going to repeat partially what I repeated last week. If you really want to get and dig in even more in the book of Philippians, and you are a lady, Miss Katie is going through the entire book if you want to get more into the Word. And not this week, right? We're on the week off this week? Oh, it is this week. Wasn't last week. This week. If you want to get involved, if you want to get it, dig into the book of Philippians, you want to learn more about it, come back at 2 o'clock, dig in. Guys, not welcome. The ladies need some time for themselves, but we can do some cool stuff coming up. Maybe have some, I hear we're having the battle of the turkey fryers. We're going to do some cool stuff. Maybe we can come early that morning. What do you guys think about Thanksgiving next Sunday morning? Anybody that wants to be here? Brian, you want to just throw out what time you're going to be here? This week, we'll throw it out there. Anybody that wants to come in, I'm probably going to have my smoker set up. We'll get that stuff cooking, and we'll have just a quick little time that we can have a little devotional together and cook and pray for whoever wins and on the turkey cook off and just have a good time. So why don't we plan on doing that next week? But if you want to be involved this week and get involved and you are a lady, please see Miss Katie afterwards or be back here at 2 o'clock. You guys are missing, or you ladies are missing a real blessing if you're not able to be there. So let's pray and we will go from there. Lord God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your words through Paul. I ask that you bless us in each and every way that you wrote through Paul, Lord, that you spoke through Paul, that we can be lights in this world, that we can shine bright in the darkness, Lord, that we give people hope, that we give people the knowledge of you, Lord, that all of those things we do because we share you, Lord. Lord, I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.